such a way. I would see them again in heaven someday, I'm sure. But it is sometimes I wonder sometimes if God kind of looks at us in the same way and he says, Shane, listen to me. Listen to me, Shane. Listen to me. Now, he wouldn't dare, nor does he, should he have to, speak to his children in such a way. But sometimes I wonder. And sometimes I think he allows things in our life to grab us by the spiritual lapels and say, you're going to listen to me. You're going to hear what I have to say. So tonight, I'm really just giving a devotional thought because I, as you can tell, I really want us to focus on prayer tonight and spend some time just face to face with each other, sharing, going around as a group of men, as a group of ladies. But what does God mean when God says to his children to listen? And I think it's very important for us to understand that God means something probably differently than what we understand. I want to credit Megan Bridge. She wrote a great article on this several years ago about a word study, and we're going to see this kind of encapsulated with an incredible video the Bible Project put out. But a lot of times we kind of falsely assume that just because we have ears, we're listening. We may be hearing, but that doesn't necessarily mean we're listening. Anybody that has children understands exactly what I'm talking about. They may hear what you're saying. Anybody that's married, anybody that has a husband may have somebody that's hearing, but they're not necessarily listening. And we, especially in our Western culture, man, we're just getting bombarded with text and hashtags and posts, and we've got our earbuds in, and we got tweets shooting at us, and we're swimming in a sea of information, and we're trying to listen to all of them, and we're only hearing very few of them. There was research done several years ago that indicated that listening was the most active communicative activity that Americans have. But saying that, there's still much to be desired in the area of listening. Do we really listen? We do a very poor job of it, I think, particularly when it comes to our spiritual life. And with all the useless information, I find that we listen a lot of times to the most useless and the lowest level of information instead of hearing the greater things, particularly coming from God. The wonderful thing for us is, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have someone. We have the great speaker himself, the great communicator himself, God. It wasn't Ronald Reagan, it's God. And he really ought to be and really needs to be listened to. So what does God mean when he says, listen? Does the scripture have something to say about this? And I would say yes. Not only does it have something to say about it, it has something very loudly to say about it. And it has something, it said something about it from the very beginning of the scriptures. The word Shema is the first word that was taught to young Jewish boys when they were learning the word of God initially, young Jewish children, girls at a little bit of an older age. The first verses they would learn are the verses that we're looking at tonight, and it was known as the great Shema. The word Shema literally means hear or to listen. And that really is the foundation, the cornerstone piece, scripturally, of the Jewish faith from the days of antiquity. That it was based off this one word. It was the great hear. And it comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And the first mention of the Shema is located in verse 4 of chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. And I'd like us to look at that. And it begins with this word, Shema, hear. Verse 6, or verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hands, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. These were the first verses that a young Jewish child would learn. Ultimately, the greatest of students would learn the entire five books, the entire Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. Many would go on and memorize the rest of the Old Testament. But these were really the beginning of teaching the Word of God. And the beginning of the teaching of the Word of God was the word Shema, to hear, to listen. I think it's important, however, to understand this, that in Hebrew, which is the original language of the Old Testament, there is no distinct word in all of the Old Testament Hebrew language for the word we would use, obey. If the word was to come up, obey, the word Shema would be used, to hear, to listen. In other words, listening then, according to the wisdom of God, when God understood that a person was listening, listening and obeying were the same thing. To listen was to obey. And to obey meant that you had listened. We know that even in our parenting. We know that a child listened, truly listened, if they obeyed the command that was given. So when it comes to the Old Testament, you'll find the word Shema countless times, and it's used countless times in many different places. And it has mostly to do with listen, it has to do with hear, it has to do with hearken, it has to do with not forgetting. But the implication of obedience, the word obey, is never used. There is no Old Testament equivalent to our word for obey except the word Shema. So whenever a Jewish person would say to you, you're going to obey, you're going to listen, you're going to obey, they would use the exact same word. Great proof of that. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. Take your Bibles and turn over there to Exodus 19 and verse 5. And I want you to see how this shows up. In Exodus 19 and verse 5, and the reason I want you to turn to it in your Bible is because I want you to underline. I know it'll be on the screen, but this gives you a great reference point. You go back and study. In Exodus 19 and verse 5, you're going to find the word Shema showing up twice. You would never know this, however, unless we pointed this out. Exodus chapter 19, look at verse 5. God's speaking to the children of Israel through Moses. And he's telling them, here are the conditions of my covenant. He says this in verse 5, Exodus 19. Now therefore, if ye will, what's the next word? What's the Hebrew word they're using? Shema. If you will listen, if you will hear, if you will obey, Shema. It's the same exact word used in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel. Obey, O Israel. Listen, O Israel. Now he says in verse 5, Exodus 19, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. The word obey and the word keep are the same word. It's the word Shema. If you really hear, and if you really are listening, then you really are obeying, and you really are keeping my words. For God, there is no distinction between hearing the word of God and obeying the word of God. He does not play the game that we play in our American Christianity, where we show up on Sunday morning, we show up on a Sunday or Wednesday night, we listen to the word of God, and then we just forget it, and we go back to exactly what we were doing before. God expects when we hear it, we're doing it. It's an automatic process. In God's economy, it is one and the same. Listening, then, according to the wisdom of God, is to listen and to obey. Now I'm almost finished. I told you we're going to try to get to prayer. The question is, how are we truly doing at listening to God? But here's really the big question. The real question is, how are we doing in truly obeying God? And that will answer whether or not we're listening to Him. God doesn't have to wonder if we're listening to Him, because He can see if we're listening to Him. How are you listening to God tonight? When God tells us to listen, He's saying, obey. Now I want to close with a wonderful, great video. I hope you'll access this and watch it again when you get home. The Bible Project put this out in the Word Study of the word shema, and I think it brings it all together.
For thousands of years, every morning and evening, Jewish people have prayed these well-known words as a way of expressing their devotion to God. They're called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And as for you, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Now, the first word of the Shema is hear or listen, which in Hebrew is pronounced Shema. That's where the prayer gets its name. Now, Shema is a really common word in the Hebrew Bible, and it's obvious why. Hearing is a very universal activity. It's usually connected with the ear, as in Proverbs chapter 20, ears that Shema and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. Now, that seems basic enough, but if you look at the other ways that Hebrew authors can use the word Shema, they use it to mean more than just let sound waves enter your ear. In Hebrew, Shema can also mean pay attention to or focus on. So when Leah, who wasn't loved by her husband Jacob, she has a son, and she names him Simon, or in Hebrew, Shim'on, because, she says, the Lord has Shama'ad, that I am unloved. So Shema means to hear and to pay attention to, and even more. It can also mean responding to what you hear. This is why so many of the cries for help in the book of Psalms begin with a call that God listen. Psalm 27, verse 7. Shema my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful. Answer me. So asking God to Shema is at the same time asking God to act, to do something. It's similar to when God asks people to listen. Like when the people of Israel come to Mount Sinai, God says, if you Shema me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Now, there's a couple interesting things about this verse in Exodus. In Hebrew, the word Shema is repeated twice in this sentence to give it emphasis. If you Shema, Shema, meaning listen closely. But also notice that from God's point of view, listening is basically the same as keeping the covenant. So when God asks the people to Shema, what he means is that they listen and obey. And that's the last fascinating thing about Shema. In ancient Hebrew, there is no separate word for obey, meaning to carry out the wishes of someone who knows better than you or is in authority over you. So in the Bible, if you want to say, I will listen and do what you say, you use the single word, Shema. In Hebrew, listening and doing are two sides of the same coin. This is why later in Israel's history, when the people were breaking their covenant promises to God, the Hebrew prophets would say things like, they have ears, but they're not listening. The Israelites, of course, could hear just fine, but they weren't actually listening, or else they would act differently. And so in the end, listening in the Bible is about giving respect to the one speaking to you and doing what they say. Real listening takes effort and action, and that's the Hebrew word Shema.
The equivalent now when we come over to the New Testament as we close and go to our time of prayer is this. Now you need to understand historically and grammatically when in the New Testament it says, hear, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now you need to understand what God is meaning when he says that. The Greek certainly has the difference and has the words for obey, but the understanding to the Jewish ear is exactly the same. And the understanding is this: to hear is to obey, and to obey means that you truly heard. So tonight, don't say that you're listening to God's voice if you're not obeying God's voice. And don't say that you're willing to listen to God's voice if you're also not willing to obey God's voice. God doesn't play those games. We like to play those games because somehow that salves our conscience to say, well, you know, I went to church, I sat there, I listened to the preaching. But your life is not exhibiting outside the context of this setting. It's not exhibiting any further obedience to what you hear. So you really weren't listening. In God's mind and in God's sight, you are just playing the game. But God doesn't play games because God sees the thoughts and the intents of our heart. So let's get back to really listening. And really listening means we're going to act on what we hear. In lieu of that tonight, there's no greater act of faith in the Christian life than prayer, because prayer is purely an act of faith. It's believing that God hears and that God is going to answer our prayer. So tonight, I want us to... I want